Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you today and we just thank you for the opportunity of these parents dedicating their children to you. Lord, what a special privilege that is in your sight. And God, that I just thank you for parents that are willing to give their kids to you. And Lord, we just ask now that you would just bless your word and the speaking of the word, and that your name would be glorified in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today I'm just going to go into continue with the theme of Daniel. Of course, I've been teaching the class on Friday mornings, and I love doing that. It's exhilarating. I know it's not a great time for everybody to come, but we're getting ready to go to the visions of Daniel now. We're in Daniel chapter 7 next week. And this is what Daniel received from the Lord, and the angel Gabriel showed up twice and clarified things to him, and gives us really strong insight into what's happening currently in the nations and in the Middle East, and so it's just an awesome time. This morning I want to focus on prophetic messages from Daniel. There's a lot of things that Daniel spoke, not with his words, but through visions and also through his life. And I just want to pull this out of there because I think it's critical for us as the body of Christ walking with God in this season. And of course, Daniel was righteous and declared righteous by God even while he was alive. In paragraph B, Daniel is the only man that was used by God in his example while he was still alive. A lot of people don't know this, but Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, was also in captivity the same time that Daniel was. Daniel was serving in the king's court in Nebuchadnezzar, and Ezekiel was in a slave camp somewhere in Babylon. And Ezekiel was prophesying while Daniel was living, and this is what Ezekiel prophesied about Daniel. And I put that paragraph there. But it's Ezekiel 14, verse 13, "When a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it, and I'll cut off its supply of bread and send famine on it. And even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would only deliver themselves. But if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job are in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." That's an amazing thing where a prophet of God, Ezekiel, declares Daniel to be righteous, and he's just still living in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, serving God. That's an amazing reality. And so Daniel was a righteous man, and he was faithful to God throughout his life. And so what we have is that Daniel, in the first six chapters of Daniel, that God spoke about his life. He didn't just put the visions of Daniel into the scripture, into the Holy Scripture. He put the life of Daniel for six chapters. And so what do we learn from Daniel? Well, today I want to focus on that being faithful to his voice. This is what Daniel did. He was faithful to the voice of God. He was faithful to God no matter what. He never compromised. Neither did his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And whenever they never compromised anything in a place of obedience, things shifted. Government absolutely shifted. When Daniel was faithful in his prayer life in Daniel chapter 10, after the children of Israel were released back into Babylon, he was still interceding for them. A lot of people would think, oh, it's easy now because there's 70-year captivity that Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied. It's over, so now it's just going to be easy. Well, it wasn't easy for them. They had to go back to their land and begin to establish the temple and rebuild Jerusalem and do all these things. And, Zechariah and Haggai and other prophets begin to prophesy following that up. And the reality is that it was very difficult, but Daniel stayed engaged in a place of prayer. Because He knew that what God had said, but he didn't take it for granted that God was just going to go do this thing. He didn't just suddenly go, okay, finally they've left. I'm going to relax now, and I'm just going to kind of take it easy in life. I think I've earned it. You know, being sprung from Jerusalem at approximately 16 years old, having his country torn from him and destroyed, having his family killed and destroyed, and his life completely rearranged, and he served God faithfully all the way through. If anybody could take a deep breath and begin to pray, I mean, begin to rest a bit and just relax, it would have been Daniel, but you don't find him doing that in the visions of Daniel. Because God was letting Daniel in on his full restoration plan that's going to encompass the ages. And ultimately, that's what was going on. So in paragraph C, Daniel sought the Lord and yearned to seek deeper understanding concerning those things he was shown. He interceded and contended in prayer, even though he knew what God was doing. He believed God when he heard his voice. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was interceding for Israel even after they were gone from captivity. In our time, we tend to go, in our time, and walking with God in a current reality, this is where I want to go and just develop this today. What can we learn from Daniel and his faithfulness and his righteousness? In our time, following up from what Stan preached last Sunday, he was talking about living a supernatural life and making that the norm for our lives. And how often sometimes we don't do that. We don't pursue those things of God. We've kind of relaxed, gotten into a groove of living. And what we used to do, we no longer do. And we think, you know, in my case, I always think, well, it's okay. You know, things are different now. And this is just the way it is. But God never changes his mind concerning you and concerning me. He never changes his mind and what he's gearing you towards in your life. His vision for you personally has never changed your whole entire life. No matter what you feel up or down and things that you're going through, it doesn't matter what you feel about it. God has never shifted in what he sees in you and what he's put in you and what he wants to draw out of you for the body of Christ. But the place of intimacy that he wants you to draw into with him. And he's constantly working on that reality on your behalf. Now the amazing thing, though, if we're comparing Daniel's life, is Daniel lived under the old covenant, a completely different reality than this greater covenant, so to speak, that we have where God himself is living in us. But this, because we live in a greater reality, we even have more responsibility to connect with God, because God will let it up to us what we do with him. And so when we look at Daniel's example, Daniel never once asked questions like, how much stuff that I can do? How much sin can I participate in and still go to heaven? How much can I get away with and still end up in heaven at the end of my life? Daniel didn't even think thoughts like that. If he did, he would have died. Because, in his faithfulness to God, there was a constant pressure against him. Because any time he stood before Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 to not only have God reveal the vision that he got, but interpret it. And then in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, another dream of a tree. And this tree was him getting cut down because of his pride. And Daniel had to stand and interpret that dream in the face again of a heathen king, a proud king. And Daniel did not want to give the interpretation to that, but he did. He said, "You're going to be cut down, Nebuchadnezzar." And a year later, he was. And he went into he was humbled by God in Daniel chapter 4. All of these times that Daniel stood in this place and showed the gifts of God, there was a great promotion for him, but there was also great attention on him from the evil one. Because finally in Daniel chapter 6, even after he's done this for, he's serving Darius, who came in after Babylon fell. Daniel's standing in this place, and he's interpreted the writing on the wall with God's hand, Belshazzar. Belshazzar never repented. He mocked God, And literally, when the armies of Persia, Medo-Persia, were advancing on Babylon, he threw a huge party. And the reason he threw a huge party is because Babylon, the city, was seen as impenetrable. It was, you know, 60 miles in circumference. It was a perfect square. Its walls were gold. They were so thick. The rivers Euphrates was running through the middle of the city. They could have, a opposing army could have sieged them for decades, and they would just live life as they normally would have. He never, ever thought that this nation would fall, and so he went and mocked God. He went and got the items from the temple, and they drank out of them in their partying, and suddenly God writes on the wall. And the Bible says that he messed himself, and his knees knocked together because he knew something was up. He knew. He had some awareness that his great-grandfather Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by God. And so he's not fathoming what's going to take place. And Daniel, of course, they ask all the magicians again, can you interpret what this writing on the wall is? And of course, nobody could. And guess who came to Belshazzar's rescue? His mom. His mom came in. She heard what was going on, and she looked at him and said, "Don't act like this. You look, you know, I don't know what he looked like. He looked like a scared man." And she says, "There's a man named Daniel that has the spirit of God in him, and these things are not hard for him. And he has an excellent spirit." And so Daniel once again is paraded in here. And Belshazzar told him, "I'll give you a purple robe. I'll give you all this stuff. Just interpret this." Daniel said, "Keep your gifts." You know, he's 70, 80 years old. 80 years old. He knows exactly what's going to happen to this Babylonian nation. It's going to come down because God said it in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The silver chest nation is going to come and take down the gold nation, which is Babylon. And so he interpreted what it meant, that Belshazzar's life was found wanting and his kingdom now is going to be divided to the Medes and the Persians. And in that night, Belshazzar died. Why? Because the Medo-Persian army found a way, history says, under the walls, through and beside the rivers Euphrates, and they came in that city. While Daniel was interpreting to Belshazzar, they had enemy troops walking to the palace inside of Babylon right in that moment. No one would ever have thought anything like that. And he fell. And so Daniel is seeing this reality, the shifting of nations, because of his obedience. Well, the magicians and the wise men that could not interpret these things, they finally, in Daniel 6, wanted to take him down. And your obedience is going to attract resistance of all kinds, even in our times and in these days. If you hear God and you begin to walk out what God is asking you to do, there's going to be resistance to it. Sometimes it's, it feels like family members. Sometimes it feels like this or that or anything. But there's resistance to walking out what God has said. And that's what we can learn from Daniel. Often in paragraph D, in our time, we tend to go with our current emotional state. If we do not have a specific constant vision that we know is from the Lord, we often shift our focus in our society. If something's not working, well then whatever, let's go find something else to do. Let's not stand in this place. A lot of our current reality in the body of Christ is if we don't have the numbers or the drama or the glamour of something really flowing good, then let's shift. God must not be blessing this or talking to this. In fact, I would want to suggest often it's the exact opposite. That doesn't mean that God has not called big time ministries that grow into fame. He has called them. But it's this idea that sometimes what God has called us to personally, if we have trouble, that we back off of it. This is what Daniel never did. He never backed off of anything, and he heard God. He found God's heart for the children of Israel. So when that they were sprung from captivity, he never rested. He stood in a place of fasting and prayer, finding out how he could help them and bless them, even from Babylon. They were gone already. And God started to continually give them visions. In Daniel 10, Gabriel shows up and said, "The minute you started praying, God heard and answered, but I was resisted by the prince of Persia for 21 days. And when he showed up, again, I love this, but he says, "Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved of God." And Daniel basically was given by Gabriel a curtain, an open curtain, to this reality that standing before God for decades in prayer, three times a day, which he got in trouble for in Daniel 6, they trapped him because they knew they couldn't find anything else wrong with Daniel. They trapped him. They said, the magicians, they said, "We have to find something with him and his God. And if we can find that, we know he'll never disobey God." So they tricked Darius into signing something that for 30 days, everybody had to pay homage to the king and not to any other god. Well, that was a huge reality because there was many gods in Babylon at that time. And so this was put into reality by Darius. He didn't even want to because he realized that they were trying to trap Daniel, but he couldn't go back on it because law wouldn't let him. And Daniel, it says, he heard what was signed, and he went home, and in the view of everybody in the open window, once again, he prayed three times a day. You know, he could have shifted 10 feet, but he never did that. He said, "I trust God no matter what, over anybody, and what anybody says." And once again, you know, he hung out one night in the lion's den, and Darius was so glad that he was alive in the morning, and then all these magicians all died in their families. And once again, a heathen king declared that God is God and shifted this nation again. This is Medo-Persia now. And once again, Daniel's obedience caused this shift. Now, what is God asking us right now to be involved in the times that we're in? We cannot go by our current emotional state about whatever God has called us to do or called us to be. And often we focus on our outward surroundings and what's happening to us or what people are saying about us. And God is saying, "No, it's your heart that I'm after. I want your heart to be engaged with me. I have a leadership plan for you. God is trying to kill us. He's trying to kill our flesh. He's trying to make Galatians 2:20 a reality in our lives." But in all honesty, it's not a hard thing for us to resist God and get into a groove of resisting God for decades or months or years. Some of us, it's not like that. But there's Christians in the body of Christ, they've resisted the advance of God, not in their outward surroundings. They're going to church, they love God, but they're resisting God at a heart level because they don't realize what God is saying to them, or they forgot what he's already told them. See, God doesn't change in 5 years. When he says something to you, I had God just, of course, when I'm praying through these things, and you know, I'm going through this myself, a lot of times God will show me something about me in the same reality that I'm seeing in Scripture. I'm looking in the life of Daniel and say, "Here's where you failed." I mean, he's doing that gently and lovingly. But about 5 years ago, the Lord really impressed upon my wife and I to listen to a specific speaker in the body of Christ. Now, for me, I would not have chosen the speaker in my own merit. I wouldn't have done that. But he said, "This is going to help your marriage." It made no sense at all in the natural that this would help our marriage or this would draw us closer together. But we started to do this because she felt the same thing. And so we started listening to this particular speaker. And my initial impressions were just like I thought, this is boring. You know, I've got it through for the sake of my marriage or whatever. But the reality was, is something began to happen. And this, this particular man just has a specific vision, an administration of the Holy Spirit, you know, to the body of Christ that's different than where we're running or whatever, however you want to say it. But the reality is, as soon as I begin to hear that, God began to change our relationship, our reality. Well, after time, I kind of, you know, after about 6 months, I kind of just, you know, just let it go. I don't know what else to say. I didn't think if my season for obeying God in that reality was over or whatever. Just life happened and we let it go. Now, my wife didn't ever really let it go, but I let it go. And last week, I was asking God about some things in my life. I was asking God about a current reality. And lo and behold, he says, I want you to listen to this man. And again, it's not like I spend hours listening to him, but even 15 minutes of input, I want you to listen to the word that he's speaking through his through his reality. And so I did that, and I don't know what happened, but I felt profoundly blessed. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you let this go. I never changed my mind. I spoke this to you. I have leadership over your heart. I know what works for you. I know how to change you. I know how to lead you into all truth. I am, you know, it's like God saying, I'm the Holy Spirit. Are you going to listen to what I'm saying? And this is the reality that Daniel demonstrated. He never once compromised and backslid or anything like that. That does, you know, again, he was under a different covenant. And a lot of times he was serving God under the threat of death. But the reality is he didn't do that because he listened to the voice of God. And he knew what God had said about the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. He knew what the reality of God was, but he engaged God tenaciously through his will in a place of prayer. And God said, you want to see what your prayers are doing? Daniel chapter 10. Angels and demons are moving around you, Daniel. Governments are shifting because of your faithfulness to me in prayer and your faithfulness to me to be a steward of the political court. Daniel was one of the most honest, extraordinary politicians there was. I mean, he was leading a large nation as the wise man simply because he interpreted a dream. But he did it with excellence. The queen of Belshazzar, or the mother of Belshazzar, called him an extraordinary man with an extraordinary spirit. Another place in Daniel said he had an excellent spirit. When it came to mundane things, it didn't matter. He never shifted from what God was asking of him. So now again, in our time, what is God asking of us in our heart level? What is he challenging us with? A lot of times the way I carry myself is, if I don't feel it anymore, then God must have not be talking anymore about this thing. And God says, don't go down that road. Come back, son. Just because you don't feel it, or you feel resistance, or you feel people talking against you, or you feel rejection because you're walking in what I called you to walk in, don't shift when it doesn't get good. Because you are taking spiritual ground as you obey God. Or at a heart level. As God says, listen to this, or do this, or love your wife in this way, or husband, and go that direction, and you try it for a week, and then it doesn't produce the results you think, and then you go, you know what? This is America. There's something else that I can look for. And God says, I have your solution right here. Are you listening? I mean, he's talking to me. I'm not talking to you. And so God often will push us towards maturity at a heart level into a place of peace with the crucible of our relationships in the body of Christ. Now, what is a crucible? It's the crucible definition is the first one was a ceramic or metal container which metals or other substances may be melted or subjected to very high temperatures. Let me just say, God puts our flesh in that container. He subjects us to very high temperatures, and he's after our change. The second one is a place or occasion of severe test or trial. And the third one is a place or situation in which different elements interact to produce something new. God is always after your restoration. You know what he has in mind over your life? Peace. That's what he's after. And this idea, again, I'm speaking to me, this idea of me thinking that I don't have to listen to what God is saying on my personal life and that I can just kind of pick and choose my spiritual reality and not actually ask God what is best for me. Because sometimes he'll ask you to do something that doesn't seem like it's best for you. And he says, exactly, it's going to kill your flesh if you walk this out. And then you'll arise in peace. This is what God is after in our lives. He's focused on our heart responses more than our outward destiny before man. I've told you this before, but I had that revelation of the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbors yourself. Three of the four of the first commandment is in here and here and here. It's your soul, mind, and heart. What does that mean? we talk about loving God with our strength quite a bit because that's what we do outward as an outward flow from God. But three-fourths of the first commandment is what God is doing in here. He's focused there because he wants you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to experience the pleasures of loving God. And so as you follow his leadership and hear his voice, that's what he's after. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." I love this verse, Philemon 6. "I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake." This is a significant verse. I remember one time I had this and I said, hey, Paul is praying here. This is an apostolic prayer. This is actually a little apostolic prayer. He says that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Meaning that you have knowledge of what Jesus has done in you. I was listening to, or I was reading about another man that had some insight into this verse. And he said that the Lord showed up one day when he read this and he said, "Will you stop being so negative over yourself?" He says, "You are speaking negativity over yourself." He said, "I want you to monitor it." This is what God said. So one day he monitored how many negative messages he gave himself. And he said it was catastrophic. And this is a man walking in successful ministry, if you will, on the outside. And God said, "Why would you tear down what I have done? Why would you focus on the negative things in you when I have put such great things in you and the things that I've done for you? Why would you do that?" He says, "I want you to start to bless yourself and speak over yourself the truth of my word and who I've called you to be." And this was a huge revelation for this man. And basically what this verse is saying is that your fellowship, your faith would actually become effective when you start realizing what Jesus has done for you, what he's put in you, what he feels about you, and on and on and on. This is why God is so passionate about you listening to his voice, because he knows how to heal your heart no matter what it looks like. Now here's the trap that the enemy puts in your place. I'm going to read Hebrews on page 2 of your notes. Hebrews 6:9-12, it says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we be speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish but imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, in our society, there's a lot of faith teaching, which I appreciate. We have to have it. It's one of the great three: faith, hope, and love. But the reality is not a lot of teachers are saying there's patience involved with your faith. Patience is something. It's once again Daniel's faithfulness in his entire life. Suddenly, he gets extraordinary visions at the end of his life from God that are going to absolutely give us a roadmap for the body of Christ walking into the end of the age. I mean, I am astonished at to me personally, that the detail that God has put in Scripture for the body of Christ. But a lot of us have no knowledge of that. And I'm not talking about us in here. But a lot of the body of Christ has no knowledge of what God has put in Scripture. It's because we have to seek it out in connection with God. If God says, "I want you to study Daniel," like to me, then he's thinking, "I'm going to study Daniel. I'm not going to do it for 3 weeks. And then, you know, I think I got something out of that, and then move on to something that I'd like to do." He says, when you study Daniel, you know, again, he's talking to me. He says, "I want you to make this a life calling. There's so much I can show you, but you have to gain the foundation and have the foundation in place before I can pour out revelation upon the foundation." And on and on and on. It's back to that message of God wants to show us things we know not of. But he won't share it with you frivolously. It's not about the grace of God. It's about, are we seeking his wisdom? Do we want to know what's going on? Do we really want to know what God is asking of us? And so with patience, we submit our hearts to God. And again, it's we're confronted with so many things that come our way. God says, I want you to have a beautiful marriage. And so you walk that direction of having a beautiful marriage, and it's ups and downs and all arounds and this and that. And there's a stirring up and triggering and fighting and conflict and all those kind of things. It would be easy if you looked with your natural eyes at things like that to say, this is not working. There must be somebody else. There must be somebody else that can meet my needs and that kind of thing. And people have no idea what they're saying when it's like that. Now, I'm saying that with the caveat that there's marriages that have ended because they've had to end. And there's various reasons for that. But God is, because God's not out to harm you, okay? But there's often, we in our selfishness, we just go, I don't like to be confronted by what's going on in here. And God is going, I sometimes look at the Lord and he's so passionate. He goes, keep going. Acknowledge what I've done in you already. Worship me. If you get attacked in your mind and the enemy starts telling you you're lost, you're broken, you're fragile, you're no good, it's over. You're the one guy or gal in the body of Christ that God has moved on to somebody else. And he's had enough of you. And Jesus goes, no, don't say that. Acknowledge what I've done in you and begin to worship. Let's start sending demons fleeing. Let's start being the body of Christ that's full of authority and believe God when he speaks to us. Let's start, this is what I felt the Lord say for this morning. Start asking him and to remember what he's spoken to you. Even a decade ago. I remember when Graham Cook came here. And we had a breakfast with him or something. And we kind of just asked him if he'd be willing to prophesy over us. And he said, I think he said no. He said, I'd like to talk to you about the words you've already had. I want to see what God is doing in your life for what he's already spoken to you. Because whatever he spoke to you a decade ago or two decades ago, God did not change his mind. He's still after that reality in your life. But let's take that from what we're doing on the outside to your heart level. What kind of intimacy that does God want with you? When you start to know him and you feel the passionate love of God towards you personally, it changes everything. This is what he's after in our lives. This is what he wants to do. Okay, I'll end with this. Michael, why don't you come on up? Mark 18. I just want to read this passage to you, because often we think, if we hear the terminology hardness of heart, we think that's not me, because I'm going to church, I'm going to that IHOP ministry, I'm in the prayer room every day, that guy's not in the prayer room every day, I believe in miracles, I believe in this, I believe in intimacy, I believe in the end times, I believe that Jesus is coming. But I don't have a hard heart. I mean, you can find hard hearts everywhere in the body of Christ, unfortunately. This is what Jesus said. Mark 18, 17 through 20 says, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? The disciples had gotten in the boat and they'd forgotten to take food with them, but they had just watched Jesus multiply these loaves and fishes. And they were discussing this. And he says, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? And Jesus asked them this, do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for 5,000 and how many baskets full of broken peace you picked up? And they said to him, 12. When I broke the seven for 4,000 and how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? Jesus is talking to his disciples that we often say this to God. There's times when the enemy tempts us to accuse God in our heart and we say, if we would just see you move in my life, if you would just come through, if you would just get rid of that enemy, if that guy would stop talking to me, if I could just feel your presence when I connect with you, then I would walk with you. And Jesus had to address his disciples that saw the miracles of God. And he says, do you have a hard heart? It doesn't matter sometimes what we see or what we experience in our life. If our heart has become hard, then we don't fully trust God as He's speaking to us. And He might say something to me or to you, and because it doesn't seem to pan out in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, we just let it go and we think that wasn't God. God wants us to engage Him like Daniel engaged Him for the people of God. He wants us to stand in a place of intercession, not only for our lives, but for the lives of our loved ones. We need to, I need to break out of passivity. It doesn't matter, you know, if I'm teaching Daniel or not, or things like this or things like that. At a heart level, I have to break out of passivity. I have to encounter God. And God says, if you want to encounter me, then you have to hear my voice. And when I speak to you, you have to follow through and begin to obey. And if you feel weak and broken, then you declare, grace, grace. That's what Zechariah said, grace, grace. Because it's not you that has to do this thing. It's the very living Spirit of God inside of you. Daniel didn't have to sweat anything in his life. When it was time to stand in faithfulness, he had the oil of prayer life that had built up, and he stood with no fear. He goes, you know what? If I go to lion's den tonight and die, I don't care. I am going to be with God because He's in charge of me. He had zero fear at that point in his life. That's what God is asking us to, is to stand up and encounter Him. Do you know how much encounter He has for each of us? Let me just end with this. This is the second end. I promise. This is for somebody here today. The Lord created the human heart. He knows exactly what you need on a personal level. I always say this. He's the greatest psychologist that ever lived. He knows exactly what you need. And when He says to forgive, He's not doing it just because it's the right thing to do. When He says to forgive, He's going to dislodge pride in your soul that's hindering you. The second thing is when you take steps towards your enemy in forgiveness or people that you need to forgive, it removes all the toxins of unforgiveness that are brewing inside of you, and His idea for you is peace. So when Jesus says forgive or do the Sermon on the Mount, to do those kind of things, He's saying, I have insight into the greatest joy you'll ever know in life. It's called the pleasures of loving God. But if you choose not to do this, then you know, it doesn't change who you are in God. But sometimes you have to muddle through all the emotions that come with not walking in a place of deep intimacy with God. There's lots of emotions when you're not intimate with Him. Why don't you stand? Father, we just come before You today and we thank You for who You are. Lord, we want to be a people that stands in the place of inheriting the promises, not just through faith, but through patience as well. Lord, I ask today for a fresh baptism of power for Your people right now in Jesus' name. I ask, God, that You would stir hearts. You would exhilarate hearts in Your holy presence. I ask today that people would start speaking life over themselves in Jesus' name. I keep hearing the Lord say, you are not a failure. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. I don't know who this is for, but He's also saying, look what you're doing today. You're in a little mall. You like to come to the house of prayer. You like to engage God. Look what you're doing today. He says, I'm pleased with you. You're moving my heart. I want you to see what I see inside of you. I want you to hear my voice and walk this out. So, Father, we ask that You would move in power today. Lord, I take authority over every demonic message right now, over every heart and mind in this room in the name of Jesus. And I cast it out of here in Jesus' name. And I release Your holy presence upon the people of God. I ask for a movement of power in their hearts. Lord, I ask that You would surprise them in the secret place. Lord, that even this week that You'd begin to talk.
I release right now through your authority dreams and visions to come alive about who God says you are. I ask you for supernatural encounters for your people in the name of Jesus. I rebuke depression and anxiety in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for a power for faithfulness and patience to see you come in power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some ask, when do I start? You start today. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You can go wholehearted before God, end up in heaven by deciding today to walk with Him. That's an awesome thing. Let's just worship together. I'm going to let Michael just take off here. And when you have to leave, just leave. Bless you in Jesus' name.
I stand amazed at your strength. I stay amazed at your power. So amazed. I stay amazed at your glory. I stay amazed at your strength. I stay amazed at your power. So amazing. I stand amazed at your glory. I stand amazed at your strength. And I stand amazed at your power. So amazing. I stand amazed at your glory.
Sure.